Good morning. I'm Khagendra. So I'm presenting today the importance of integration of spatial variability for increasing the agricultural production. And this is the case study from the Nepal, where CIMIT is working intensively in this area. And Nepal is a part of the Indo-Gangetic Plain. Here you can see its extent, this Indo-Gangetic Plain extends from the part of the Pakistan, India, and then this lower belt of the Nepal, and then the almost all part of the Bangladesh. And I'm focusing more on the Nepalese context, and the context is more or less in the Indo-Gangetic Plain. This is the river basin, it's more or less same. And there is a high spatial variability in the climate and also in the nutrients, soil available nutrients and the soil fertility. Here in the map, what we can see is most of the area is, has a lower soil fertility. So they partly, because of the farmer are not using much agriculture inputs like a fertilizer, and they have the intensive cropping system. Normally, they grow the 2 to 3 crops in a year. So because of the on balance use of the fertilizer and then the intensive agricultural system, the balance is disrupted and then the soil fertility status is getting low. So in this context, it is better to understand the natural availability of the fertilizer in the soil, how much is in the stock, and to increase the agricultural productivity, and which helps actually to formulate the site-specific fertilizer recommendations, because it is important in context of Nepal, because it has a very high variability in agroclimatic zones. It ranges from the 64 meter from sea level to 8,848 meters. So we have a very large variation. So simple one recommendations doesn't work throughout the country or even in the Indo-Gangetic Plain. So it's important to disintegrate this variability, what factor really governing the yields of the agricultural crop. So basic objectives of this study was to understand natural variability of the fertilizer and response of the fertilizer for the crop yields, and to decompose spatial variability, how we can effectively disintegrate those variability, and to evaluate whether machine learning tools, here we use the random forest, whether it can unfact the driver of the spatial variability or not. So this is the basic objectives of our research. Here you can see the spatial distribution of the nitrogen and phosphorus. This map is recently generated using the lot of data from the government of Nepal, National Nepal Agriculture Research Council, and in other land use project. So what we can see here is the area at the lower side where you can see the green area. This is the this is the intensive cultivated area where normally farmer grow 2 to 3 crops. So fertilizer nitrogen level is getting lower, so status is very low. But the area where the the forest cover is still nitrogen level is high. And the same pattern is in a phosphorus here. And as I said, this is because of farmer are actually mining the soil available nutrients. And if we look at this fertilizer application rate, this is the data, crop cut survey data, which we had conducted in the 10 districts of the Thorai region. And you can see within a district, here in the 10 districts, you can see highly variability within a districts and then between the districts. So normally nitrogen application rate by the farmer is not more than 35 kilogram nitrogen per hectare, whereas in the phosphorus they are using around 20 kilo phosphorus P2O5 per hectare. So they are using very less sometimes, and then in case of the potassium, I haven't presented this potassium figure, they are not using potassium fertilizer because they don't know the value of the potassium fertilizer. So there is a variations in the application rates, and it's mainly governing by the socioeconomic factor too. Some farmer who can buy the fertilizer, they can apply the more, but the farmer who are not buy the fertilizer, they are not applying the fertilizer. And similarly, the availability of the fertilizer is also the main issues in the developing countries. They cannot really get the fertilizer on time of the planting or on the time of the fertilizer applications. So this is leading the lower yield. So yield is varies from the 1 ton per hectare of the in case of the wheat yield to the 5 ton of the mean of 2.2 ton per hectare. You can see here the range is 1 ton to the 5 ton. And then even you can see within the districts and between the districts, there is a highly variable in the crop yield. And how we can disintegrate this variability? Because fertilizer is the one issue, but the only fertilizer doesn't govern all the yield attributes. So other like climatic and the management factor is also the driver, and how we can disintegrate those factors so we can really focus on it. So we use the random forest to integrate this importance of variables, and here you can see the sowing date. In case of the wheat, sowing date is a primary important factor. So this is the managerial stuff, and this is the methods of tillage, what sort of tillage methods they use. And then it comes the nitrogen fertilizer, and then the phosphorus here, and potash here, and then the seeding rate. This is the plant populations, how much they maintain, and then the frequency of the irrigations, how much they apply the irrigations. And normally the wheat crop is grown during the winter season, and we will receive very less amount of the water or rainfall during the winter. So sowing date, basically if the farmer, they grow their crops before the 7th of the December, beginning from the November, 15th of November to the before the 7th of the December, they will get the higher yield, but they don't know appropriate planting date. So we are focusing on the management aspect, and then this factor is disintegrated by the this random forest modeling. This is simple regression and classification model, like other models. Here, this is also the results from the random forest, and then the partial dependency plot shows that the around 60 kilogram of the nitrogen is increased the positively the marginal effect. And in case of the potassium, it's a 70 kilogram of the kilogram of the K2O, it increased the marginal effect. But here we have a problem in this feeding this phosphorus model. So we don't know exactly why this random forest could not really predict the phosphorus. Maybe a farmer in Nepal, they're using diammonium phosphate, DAP, as a source of the nitrogen. But it contains the phosphorus too. So there is a very highly correlated between these nitrogen and the phosphorus, and they predict the yield. So we cannot really disintegrate this, and we are still looking on it how we can improve these predictions. On the basis of this, the modeling results, we established the trials in the 48 locations of the districts, here covering the four districts, from here to the here. And we had 9 treatments ranging the nitrogen response from 0 kilogram and to the 180 kilogram kilogram, and we wanted to produce these nitrogen response curves against the yield, how much nitrogen is responding in those areas, and this is the part of validation for the random forest model. And what we have observed is that nitrogen is responding significantly higher than the phosphorus, what we got in the random forest model, where the importance of nitrogen is in a higher range in the random forest model, which I showed you before. Like here, nitrogen is the far above than the phosphorus. So we have found that the same in this result. This is responding around 51% to 127% with the mean of the 88%, and the phosphorus yield was increased by 1 to 35%. So we can say our random forest model is predicting in the line what we observe in the field trials. And then when we're looking at these field trial data, again we can see in these districts, Banke, and then this is the Kanchanpur and other districts, we got this higher wheat grain yield, around 60 kilogram of the nitrogen fertilizer, whereas in these two areas we got the higher yield, around 100 kilogram of the nitrogenous fertilizer. So in summary, what we can say is this, our preliminary results shows that the machine learning tools give the, you know, provide the valuable insights for the nutrient management. But the problem is the this machine learning tools need the large data sets, and it's not available in developing countries, so it needs the, you know, greater effort to generate the data. Thank you very much.